Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together. Got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. Attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
And 2-2, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, it is a great privilege to be with you all once again on tonight. We're going to start off, as we always do. But because we have so many new listeners, the listeners that normally always tune in faithfully already know what I'm about to say. So for the new listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the presence of none other than Deacon Marvin Cox, who will be bringing forth God's word on tonight. He always shares an inspirational poem with us first, so he's going to do the same thing on tonight. After he shares inspirational poem, he's going to go directly to God's word. So you're going to need your Bible, a pen and some paper so you can take notes. We always open up with prayer. So we're going to go into prayer at this time. So we ask in all listeners, if you will please pray with us, because we do serve an awesome God who can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our risen Lord and Savior, King. It is in his name that we come once again on tonight to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. You are so worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. We thank you that all power in heaven and in earth is still and always will be in your hands. So we just thank you on tonight. Holy Father, thanking you for this another day that you have made. You have allowed us to wake up and sleep without hurt, harm, or danger. Holy Father, we come now in the name of Jesus asking that you will forgive us. Forgive us, Heavenly Father, of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and every believer and every saved believer and every doer of your word, Heavenly Father, all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and transgressions in the name of Jesus. We thank you that because of the finished work on the cross that our risen Lord and Savior Christ, Jesus Christ, done, and his finished work on the cross includes our forgiveness of sin, so that we can continue to walk and fulfill our God's purpose in the earthly glory. So we just thank you. And Father, we come now asking that you will move by your Spirit, touch, heal, and strengthen and deliver those that are sick and afflicted in their minds, spirits, and bodies all over the land. Continue to comfort and strengthen those that believe all over the land in Jesus' name. Continue to let them know that earth still has no sorrow, that heaven cannot heal in the name of Jesus. We pray now, Heavenly Father, that should there be any listener on the line or who have tuned in by way of the internet, if they're not saved, they're still spiritually blind, it's our prayer, our hope and desire that something will be said through your word, through your man of God on tonight, that will touch their hearts, that they will be able to open their mouth, even on tonight, and confess their sins and transgressions and ask your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved, they will come to know, walk in and live in and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us, in spite of ourselves, in Jesus' name. Bless every listener that faithfully tunes in. Heavenly Father, we know that you already know who they are and where they are and what they stand in need of. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our newly elected President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. Our new elected Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. So we thank you for them, Heavenly Father. We know that they're going to need your strength. You're going to need the prayers of the righteous to hold them up, Heavenly Father, that they can hear your voice, that they will do what's right for all people, that they will show love and compassion for all people all over the world, that you will be glorified through them. It's our prayer in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, we just ask that you will have your way on tonight through this worldwide platform, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, our spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, let God have his way in you for his glory. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought. Let God have his way in you for his glory. So once again, before we do our music break, I do want to say another, again, congratulations to our newly elected President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. So just as I said in the prayer, I'm going to pray for our theme song, Pray For Me, on behalf of our President-elect and Vice President-elect, because of their positions that they're going to get ready to walk into. They're going to need the prayers of the righteous. So that's what we're going to pray on tonight. Pray for me, that the prayers of the righteous still avail as much. So we are going to lift them up in prayer as they get ready to walk into the new God assignment in their life. Is our prayer for them in Jesus' name. So now we're going to go to our music break. We pray that you will be blessed by it. And after the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. He's going to, again, share with us another inspirational poem. And then he's going to go into God's word. But before he do that, I have a praise report. I just have to give this praise report because I know there's nobody but God. And he deserves the glory. And I would be amiss if I did not let the world know what God has done for me. For a whole year to the date, when I first started looking for a home to buy. And I went through a lot of different homes that were paying like inspection fees, and for some reason some of the inspection wasn't passing. So it took almost a whole year. But finally, I had to come to the conclusion that maybe the houses that I did look at, maybe those were not the houses that God wanted me to be. But it's okay. You know, purchase a home here in Hopkins, Michigan. So I just moved in on the 3rd of November, and I just give God the glory, honor, and praise. For you who are listening, if you're in a situation and you're trying to purchase a home or whatever you're trying to do, don't give up faith. Keep your faith and your hope and trust in God. Keep giving him praise, glory, and honor to your best manifest until it comes to materialistic, where you can actually see it. You can actually put your hand on it. You can, in my situation, I can walk into my new house. And so I just give God the glory, honor, and praise for it because I know it was nobody but him, and he's so worthy to be praised. So for you that are on the same journey as far as looking for a house, don't give up on God. Keep giving him glory, honor, and praise. And when the time is right, he will reveal to you exactly where he will want you to live, where you can continue to be a bright, shining light, that somebody can see Jesus Christ through you in your new neighborhood, that he will be glorified. So now we're going to go to our music break. Pray for me. Again, the prayers of the righteous still avail as much, because we're going to need to be praying for our President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. We're going to need to continue to lift them up in prayer. Enjoy the music break.
Come on, KD.
This is an old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm going to sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you, the Lord. I love that song. Pray for me. You pray for me, and I pray for you. Aren't you grateful that Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King, aren't you grateful that he prayed for you, he prayed for me? He had us on his mind. He took the time, and he prayed for us. So he's our perfect example. So if Jesus prayed, don't you know that we as sisters and brothers in Christ, we are to be doing the same thing. Again, the word of God said the prayers of the righteous still availeth much. So right now, I'm so excited to return this mic over to none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. Another inspirational point. Then he's going to go directly into God's word. I pray and hope that everyone that's on the line have your Bibles, pens, and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox. Deacon Cox, and I'll give the mic to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brown. I'd like to give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, and to God, my Father. And I also like to send greetings and salutations to all of my Father's children. Last week we had technical difficulties, and I was excited to get on the air, but it was not meant to be. But today we're going to keep the same lesson, and it's something that's going to be a benefit to everyone. If you have listened before when the Lord allowed me to speak to you, this really humbles me to be able to bring forth his word, to be in a position with this awesome responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. Now, you will hear me say this every time that I have this opportunity, that, Lord, all of you and none of me. That being said, to the old listeners and to the new listeners, the Lord has given me this to give to you, and it's called Invisible Wounds. Invisible wounds, the kind that the eyes cannot see. Invisible wounds, the ones that hurt both you and me. Invisible wounds, the results of what someone said. The kind of the wounds that can kill you dead. They will kill you dead, but not take your life, when people use words that cut like a knife. Invisible wounds, the ones an MRI cannot find, that bruise our egos, our hearts, and poison our mind. I was just with them the other day. I never thought they felt or would act that way. Invisible wounds are so easy to conceal. They can convince a sick mind to go out and kill. If you're offended by something, please let someone know. It won't give invisible wounds a chance to grow. So please be careful of what you say and what you do, because someone with visible wounds may be out to get you. Don't use your tongue as a weapon, because your words can kill. Remember, invisible wounds, only God can heal. And that's the perfect segue into tonight's lesson. That's a wonderful lesson, because if you look around, we are in need of something that we have it available, but we're not taking advantage of it, which is tonight's topic and tonight's subject. I'll be reading to you from Proverbs, the 17th chapter, the 22nd verse, out of the King James Version of the Bible, and it reads, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." And the topic that we're going to use to speak on tonight is good medicine doesn't have any side effects. Now, we know that, and just read to you from the book of Proverbs, 17th chapter, 22nd verse. May the Lord add a blessing to reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word and his will, and may edify our souls forever. See, sometimes, you know, when we get excited and we're eager to bring forth the Lord's word, we still must do it in, you know, decent and in order. And it's the reason why we should do it decent and in order, because at the end of the day, he's got to get the glory out of all that has been said and all that has been done. So I just thank him. And, you know, every now and then, as I say, when you ready and you ran to go, then it seems like the Lord always have a different plan when all of those captive lines that you rememorize in your mind say, yeah, this ought to, you know, but then he erased those things. And, you know, just like when you're in school and you done worked out a problem, and then the teacher come up there with that eraser and erases the whole thing, and you got to start all over, say, wait a minute, you did it, but this is how it should be done. So he erases that from me to bring forth his word through me. And as I say, all of Lord, all of you and all of me. So as I say, the lesson tonight is a good medicine has no side effects. Now, we know that one of the safest medicines that we know of, or one of the safest medicines that we consider ourselves taking, is aspirin. But before I start talking about aspirin, I want you to know that there are good side effects and there are bad side effects to everything. God has made everything for our use and for our pleasure and to heal us. But see, now I'm going to go back to the aspirin, because it's a medicine that I know that is in just about everybody's medicine cabinet. So we're going to talk about the side effects or the adverse conditions or the things that it might cause you harm in using this particular thing or abusing it. Now, some of the side effects of aspirin is it might have gastrointestinal ulcerations. In other words, the acetaminophen in the bare aspirin, it may cause you to have stomach problems, it may cause your stomach to have sores. You might have abdominal pain. Now, we look at it, we say to ourselves that this is something that is supposed to be to my good. We get an upset stomach. Now, wait a minute. Now, this is a good medicine. Now, this is something that prescribed by the doctor. I know a lot of you older people remember it was a saying that they had not long ago where they would say if the doctor came to see you, or they would say that take two aspirins and call me in the morning, because the aspirin was almost like the do-all and the cure-all. It had a lot of good benefits to it. Remove headaches. It would make you feel better. It would calm your stomach. But, okay, this is good medicine. Now, this good medicine is aspirin. Get your heartburn. Wait a minute now. What type of good medicine is that? It will cause you, if you take it too much, it will cause you to be drowsy. Now, it's got good properties, don't get me wrong, because if you know, they tell you that if you feel that you're having a heart attack or something like that, they tell you to take an aspirin so that it can open up your veins, so that will allow you to, you know, get that within that golden 60 minutes that sometimes it takes, or that they give you before you're all the way in the danger zone. Okay, now, what about this? You're taking a headache pill that's giving you a headache. Now, what kind of good medicine is that? It causes cramping. It causes your stomach to ball up in knots and allergic to reaction. It gives you hives and sometimes difficulty breathing. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Now, this is supposed to be some good medicine right here. The swelling of your face. Now, as I say, I'm trying to deal with the safest medicine I know, but it has its benefits. All right, and you can get a fever from taking medicine sometimes. Sometimes, you know, it causes you to vomit, you know, to regurgitate. But okay, now remember, now this is a good medicine. But see, we're going to go back into the word for a minute. I was just giving you an illustration of these things, and I'm going to get back to these different side effects. But I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. It says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But a broken spirit dries up the bones. Once again, I tell you that good medicine don't cause us no side effects. A merry heart. Now we're going to look at the contents of that heart. We're going to look at how that heart is in operation, how that heart is affecting all of the things that we do on a daily basis. Because remember, God is prayer is the best medicine, and God is the best doctor. So I want you to put those two together, because we need some prayer. We need some love. And some of the things that I'm going to mention to you, I'm going to talk about bad medicine, and then I'm going to talk about good medicine that does not have any side effects. We're going to go to Galatians, the 20th chapter, and verses 20 through 23, which is dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, it says, all right, I'm going to start at the 20th verse and say, idolatry, that's bad medicine, y'all. That's real bad medicine. Witchcraft. Ho, wait a minute. Now, we see this every day on TV. Hatred, that's bad medicine. Variance, emulation, we're noticing that too. Wrath, there's plenty of that. You know, you get somebody mad and they want to bring their wrath down on you. Strife, seditions, heresies, all of these things. Now that's bad medicine, but see, sometimes we got to take the bad medicine to get through to the good medicine. We got to let that bad medicine work its way out of our system. Okay, envyings and murders. Oh, that's definitely bad medicine. Drunkenness, revelings, partying and all this kind of stuff, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, now, if we go back to Proverbs, the 17th chapter, 22nd verse, it said, but these things, what do? It said that they dryeth up the bones. If you notice anybody, you know, right nowadays, you know, we see people out there partying, and a 20-year-old look like they're 65, and a 65-year-old now is looking really youthful. So all of these things to say, it dries up the bone. And if you know anything about the bones, you know that the marrow in the bones feed and gives nutrients to the body, and the blood cells that's in the marrow, it provides a defense for the body. So when your bones dry up, then your defense system for your whole body is compromised. So we're looking at all of this bad medicine right there. All of this bad medicine that will cause you to regurgitate. When you do these things, you regurgitate. Oh yeah, you'll be throwing up because it's of no benefit to you. But all right, now we're going to go to the fruit of the Spirit. Now we're going to talk about some good medicine now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Oh boy. Now, how many side effects do you don't have no side effects from loving nobody? Not unless your heart is not in the right place. Then you're going to begrudgingly love them. But God tells us in the Word, freely love you one another as I have loved you. This is an order from the Most High. So we should be joyful in our loving. We should be glad to be able to love somebody and not let it cost them. My love should not cost you, Brother Brown, not a penny. My love for you, Sister Phillips, Sister Robinson, Brother Robinson, Deacon Johnson, all of you out there that's listening, it shouldn't cost you anything. It should not put you in debt to anything. I should be able to do that willingly. But see, what the problem is that some of us, we put a price tag on love. We love and we give. Why? Because we want to call in a future favor. But see, the fruit of the Spirit, that's good medicine, y'all. It don't have no side effects. When you do unto others as you would have them to do unto you, or, you know, it's better to give than to receive, and you've done something. The Lord used you as an instrument to produce or to be bountiful or to give somebody a harvest. I can't speak for you, but I just feel so good when I'm able to give, and I don't look at what I got, because if I look at what I got, I might say, somebody asked me for that last dollar, say, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do it. This is my last. I can't spare it. But if the Lord gave it to me and I give it to somebody else out of love now, you know, I can't, you know, give somebody my last knowing that they're going to go out there and use it for some foolishness. Now, that's not even right on my part. I would be hurting them more than I would be helping them, because I would have to have them or tell them, look, I'm sorry, you got to figure this out. I have it, but I'm not going to give it to you to do that. I'm not going to pay, as my uncle would say, he used to tell his children, my cousins, say, look, I'm not going to pay for your pleasure bill. But he said, son, I'm not going to pay, give you money to take a young girl out to the show. You better get yourself a paper route or get a job or something. So we're just looking at this good medicine. Okay, joy. Now, joy is a good medicine. It don't have no side effects. It's not detrimental to your body in no type of way. Joy is something that we can take, and you know what? You can't overdose on joy. You can't overdose on love. Long suffering. All right, now let's touch that for 1 second. Long suffering means that sometimes you just have to labor with somebody, because I know that the Lord labored with me a long time ago, because, you know, my head was just as hard as everybody else's. But see, when you go through that long suffering, then at the end, when the person finally see the light, finally realize that the wages of sin is death, finally accept God as their own personal Savior, finally become an asset to the kingdom of God instead of a liability, it does your heart good to see that. You know, just like a teacher is teaching their students, and it just seems like one student is not getting it, but finally they, you know, in the last quarter of the last senior year, they go to getting straight A's. And can you imagine how that teacher is, that teacher that long-suffered with that student, that labored with that student? Could you imagine the joy and the elation in their hearts when that student finally walk across the stage? That student finally say, look, no more. And this is what we got to do. We got to do this with each other. We have to do this with our children. We have to do it with our fellow church members, our, you know, members of the congregation. We have to long-suffer with them, because we are quick to abandon them and say they're not worth even being bothered with. But just think, just look back on your life momentarily. Have a moment of quiet reflection. Look at all those contrary times in your life that the Lord was right there, did not approve of the things that you were doing, but was there nonetheless. And this is what this long-suffering is. Gentleness. All right, now we're going to talk about this gentleness for a minute. It ain't no side effects from being gentle, because sometimes you can be just as gentle with people, and they try to be so rough with you. But, you know, they say, but a soft word turns away wrath. So sometimes, I know one day I was walking down the street, and it was this vicious dog behind the fence. I mean, he was barking. It was just like, get a hold of him. Can you? I mean, he was like, you know, really slobbering at the mouth. And it seems like to anybody else that this dog, if he would have got up that fence, you know, he would have told me up. He would have mauled me. But I just said something to the dog. I say, how you doing, sir? I say, I know it's rough. You know, yes, I know it, you know, it's kind of rough. I know a dog's life is kind of rough. I said, but how you doing? And believe it or not, that dog just shut up and just his tail started wagging. So I'm just thinking about that soft word that I use to that dog, because normally if somebody barking at you, guess what? You start back to barking at them. And before you know it, you're barking at each other, and that gentleness that we're supposed to show is gone. And the old folks used to say, I'm going to kill you with kindness. So we have to be kindness. We have to be able to bring forth this thing, this gentleness. Okay, goodness. Now see, goodness only comes from the Lord. Now that's a good medicine with no side effects. And I thank the Lord for allowing me to write a poem that said, A Good Heart. One thing about a good heart, I will tell you no lie, that you can't make a good heart look foolish no matter how hard you try. So that good heart, see, when you got that good heart, then other people going to look at you and they're going to say, why in the world do you let that individual take advantage of you? They just using you. But no. See, my reward is not on this side, because if I were the monitor and I was to withdraw God's charity from those people that have mistreated me, and, you know, would say that for the pray for them that, you know, mistreat you and say all manner of evil falsely against you. So we're supposed to still be good, supposed to have a modicum of goodness within us. Even when somebody is treating us bad, we're not supposed to reciprocate. Now, can you just see all of this good medicine that the Lord has given us that don't have no side effects? You should feel good bringing forth these things, because I promise you, your neighbor is not going to treat you as good as you treat him. But God tells us, he gives us orders once again to love you one another as I have loved you. There are going to be some that's going to reject you, some that's not going to want to have anything to do with you. And you say to yourself, well, see, this is when you got to be careful, because that flesh will get in the way, and that flesh will say to you, that flesh will call you out, that flesh will say, you're a fool. Mm. That's what the flesh will tell you. You're a fool. Why you letting them talk to you like that? It will then begin to erode your pride, whereas you said, I don't have to take this. I'm going to withdraw. Mine, but see, it's not mine. It's the Lord. I'm going to withdraw the love from you. But see, that's when we're supposed to show more love.
Mm-hmm.
When the person is really acting, cutting a monkey out there. See, that's good medicine. These don't have no side effects. All right, what about a little bit of meekness right here? All right, we can be meek, you know. But see, because a person is meek, and because a person is humble, and because a person is not arrogant. You know, I don't want to use this word. Don't mean you're a sissy. You know, that's the term for lack of a better word. But, you know, don't mean that you're weak because you're meek. Don't mean that somebody could take advantage of you. Because look at how meek the Lord was when they attacked him. He maintained his meekness. Because I know somebody trying to, you know, take the average person's head off or do the thing that they did to the Lord, then, you know, their flesh is going to say no more. You know, you're trying to injure me. But see, people are going to injure your flesh. They're going to say things like in those, the poem that was brought to you tonight, those invisible wounds. See, somebody's going to inflict some invisible wounds. But see, those invisible wounds, where do they come from? They come from our feelings. And see, the flesh only deals in two things, and that's feelings and excitement. Because the flesh wants to be excited. Once those endorphins in your brain get to moving around and everything, and that flesh get excited, it's going to crave that. That's why we have habits with things. That's why people can get on bad medication. That bad medicine, opioids, steroids, all of these things is bad medicine. They're good medicine, But see, I'm talking about because they were made by the hands of man. But see, there's so many things that God has provided for us. And see, I'm going to get into home remedies in a few minutes. But see, this good medicine, this love, this meekness, this temperance. Okay, temperance. All right, which when somebody is, which is no more than self-control. Okay. Because there's going to be people that's going to try you every day. People going to come up out of the woodwork and they're going to question who you are. And you're going to question yourself. Because they're going to do what they can to push and poke and prod. Why? Because they're trying to expose you. They're trying to get you to denounce God by cussing him out. I know there's been a lot of Christians out there that have been put into that position. Say, okay, well, I want to put my religion on the shelf and tell that brother about himself. But see, Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, tells each and every last one of us it's a time for everything. But see, that might not be the time to tell that individual off. That might not be the time to use those types of words, those Sunday school words. So we have to have self-control in everything we do. Why? Because we're creatures of habit. Why? Because if we're not careful, all of those things, all those hidden pleasures that we have suppressed because we're in the Lord. If we're not careful, every day, Paul says, hey, every day I'm fighting a battle. You know, it's a battle going on inside of me. Every day is how people put it. So I have to be careful. You know, I have to, as my brother King said a couple of weeks ago, I got to get into it. But I also not only got to get into it, but I got to let it get into me. And I'm talking about the Word of God. See, because if I'm in the Word of God, then it'll tell me to turn the other cheek. It'll tell me that I'm supposed to forgive my brother 70 times 7. And that was just symbolic. But it's telling me that I'm supposed to forgive him. I'm not supposed to hold that against him because, see, not having any forgiveness is a burden. It will hold you down. It will suppress you. It will hinder you. Why? Because you carry around that heavy load. You're feeling that you've been taken advantage of. But see, I got a word to say about forgiveness. When you forgive somebody, and that's where a lot of us Christians make mistakes at, we don't want to forgive somebody because we think that which they did to us, that they're getting off scot-free. That's not the case because, see, they got to deal with God. But, see, he tells us to take our burdens to him and to leave it there. So how could I concentrate on God's word if I got a vengeance in my heart against somebody, if I want to meet somebody out in the parking lot and do a little, you know, a little polka dance with them, do a little, you know, dance a little jiggity-jig with them. That ain't going to work. I'm supposed to forgive them and gone on about my father's business. Now, after it says temperance, against such there is no law. So you cannot legislate this. You cannot go to Washington with this. You cannot do none of these things because there is no law against it. It's not, you know what, that's not even on the book. So we have to be careful because, see, all of this good medicine that has been prescribed to us tonight, this is something that we can take. This is something that won't have no side effects. This is something with each one of these things we do, this is something that we can do and lay down and sleep like a baby. But see, if you got grudge in your heart, you're not gonna be able to fill out this prescription for good medicine. You're gonna go to bed, you're gonna do things, and you're gonna wish that you hadn't. Supposed to be, okay, a cheerful giver. If you're a cheerful giver, you're not supposed to give it to somebody and then say, because they, didn't thank me, I shouldn't have did that. Because look at the lepers. Look at how the healing that the Lord did with the lepers. And How many came back to thank him? How many said, I appreciate you healing me? Only one, which is a small 10% of. So, but see, if we get that percentage, just think about all the people that you have done something good for in your life. How many have actually came back and said, you know what, I really do appreciate it. How many times have you took somebody way over to the other side of town? They were about to catch a cab. And you said, I'll take you over there. You volunteered, you're doing it in the name of the Lord. And then they got out your car so fast, forgot to close the door, and didn't even say thank you. So we got to take these things into consideration, because nobody, I'm not going to say nobody, because there are some people that are glad. Because God's word in Matthew tells us that when we cast our arms, do it in secret.
Right.
And your Father will reward you openly. You're not supposed to broadcast that you did something good for somebody. See, that's good medicine right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just between them, you, and the Lord. And see, they won't have no side effects, because I know that when I'm able to bless somebody after I've been blessed, even if I haven't been blessed, that's one of the greatest feelings in the world. Even when I'm able to bless somebody through poetry and say something to them and they tell me, oh, how did you know how I was feeling? That really touched my heart. That was awesome. It, you know, I never looked at it like, you know, or I need to tighten up my game. That nobody could imagine the joy. That's my reward right there. Nobody could imagine the joy that I get from people just acknowledging that God worked through the pen. I can't take no credit for it. I take the pen and he just do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be mindful of these things. Look at all this good medicine that we got. I mean, and see, we're going to get into the word because a little bit deeper, because it was a time where the word was saying there is no medicine in Gilead. Some publications say that there was no balm in Gilead. But see, balm is an ointment that they put on different things. So if we didn't modernize that, they say, wow, it ain't even no CVS's in Detroit. No pharmacists, no doctors, no hospital. So God recommends medicine. See, if you think about it, God do the healing, but the doctor get the fee.
That's right.
I'm going to say it again. God do the healing, but the doctor get the fee. He even told Luke, who was a physician. Now, Luke was a doctor. He said, physician, heal thyself. How are you going to heal yourself? You know, I ain't no miracle worker. Take some of that good medicine. Take a double dose of love. This is what we could do. Hey, take a double dose of love. That'll calm your nerves down. Take an ounce of charity. You know, drink a cup of charity. See how that make you feel. You know, how they say, give to others that is less fortunate than yourself. I didn't say that's less than you, but I just say less fortunate than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Give to somebody who does not have or who has not been blessed as tremendously as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that are good medicine. These are the things that will... Okay, now we're going to go over to Isaiah, the 38th chapter, 21st verse. So Isaiah has said to Hezekiah's servants, make an ointment from figs and spread it over the boar, and Hezekiah will recover. Okay, now let's get into some old-fashioned remedies for a minute. These good medicine. Now I'm more than sure that you out there listening have, you know, been exposed to old-fashioned remedies. I know that my house was full of old-fashioned remedies. I know when I was coming up, you know, if a young man or young girl was musty or, you know, had an odor about them, they would put a potato peel up under their arm. A potato peel, yes, because they say that potato peel would draw out that scent from up under their arm. We know that aloe and ginger, it helps We know that green leaf tea. I haven't seen this in a long time, but sassafras tea, all of these things, aloe vera for your burns, honey for your burns, all of this is good medicine. It don't have no side effects. When Job had those boils, what did he do? He sat in ashes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you might wonder, what is the, you know, therapeutic properties of ashes? But see, that it draws out stuff. Now, I know, Brother Brown, I know you remember that whole cotton liver oil. I know, you know,
yeah.
And that turpentine and sugar and all that old kind of stuff. This was good medicine. This
was
stuff
down.
That wouldn't have got away from using, you know, rubbing down with Vicks Vapor Rub, how it will, you know, how that green mint tea and all that green tea, all of these things have properties which can help us. We know that those people that live in those areas where they eat a lot of carrots, we know that carrots are good for your eyesight. Now, we're going, I shouldn't touch it, but we know that that stuff that they call tetrahydrocannabinol, THC, a.k.a. marijuana, is good. Because when you overdo things, because God made everything, what he say? It's good. He said, but I say, it's good. But when you take the fun out of fun, even told Brother Paul, who had a stomach ailment, that a little bit of wine is good. But see, when we take the fun out of fun, then it becomes an addiction to us. When we get that memory in our mind that this made us feel good. Even back in the days when the cowboys and the Indians, see, they found out, see, because the Indians, they believed in spirits. And they know that when... And the soldiers knew that if they was high and they was seeing like they were talking out of their heads, which showed you the respect that people have for spirits. They say they're not going to fool with somebody when they're in that bad spirit. So they didn't leave. So they, you know, cowboys, if they were outnumbered or the soldiers, when they were outnumbered, they would be chewing on that grass like they're doing nowadays, talking out of their head like they're doing today, because it had medicinal purposes. But if you do these things, you got to do these things in moderation. I know y'all remember syrup of Black Draw and Father's John's and 3-6's and all this old kind of stuff, you know, and all these old different kind of medicines, Luden's cough drops and all that old kind of stuff. But these were good medicine. I didn't mean to throw 666 in there, but that was just the name of the medicine.
That's right.
But these were what was considered as good medicine. Because, see, if you got that joyful heart, it's not good medicine unless you got a joyful heart. Proverbs tells us that a good heart, a joyful heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if your heart isn't into giving, your heart isn't into forgiving, then it's no cure for that. Because it's been times that I might have been in dire need, and somebody called himself coming to my rescue. Probably didn't happen to y'all too. Coming to your rescue, but guess what? They was coming with the lecture, but you needed it so bad at that time, you took the lecture. But then you really wish in your heart, you say, I don't even want it now. The reason I say that is because if you think about it, when the Good Samaritan, when he came across that individual that had got mugged on the side of the road down there on Mack Avenue, he didn't get off his beast and say, look, man, I told you to stay away from Mack. I told you that it was cutthroat down there. Because, see, we know that Jericho Road was a tough road. He didn't get off his beast and say, look, man, you shouldn't have even came down here. Because when a person is sick, even God's word says the sick don't need no medicine. The well don't need no medicine. Medicine is for the sick. But when somebody is in need, the last thing they want to hear from you at that particular time is that you shouldn't have, or I told you so. because I'm trying to find out and look it up. I haven't yet to see it in the Bible where the Lord say, I told you so. Now he'll give you warning, but if you need help, he will help you. And your guilt will convict you. You would say that, yeah, he told me so. So that good Samaritan got off his beast and put good medicine, good ointment. You know, we don't hear about no heat liniment no more. We don't hear about all of those. We don't hear about castor oil anymore. We don't hear about taking some sugar and like 2 drops of turpentine or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But see, these are good medicines. And there's so many medicines out there that we don't even have no idea. Because see, that ginger is good for what? It's good for pain and it's good for nausea. Okay? We know that carrots is good for the eyesight. We know that carotene and all of these foods with magnesium in them and all of this, these are good for you. These fatty fishes and all this is good for you. So what we're going to do? We're looking at that a lot of our problems come from our diet. Oh, yeah, it comes from the food we eat. Why? Because we're not feasting on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not eating God's word, because he say we're not, you know, in Corinthians, he tell us, he say, take ye and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. So it's not that we're cannibalistic, but see, that right there was just a symbol of his body.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Hezekiah, he had boils, and they put that ointment on those boils, and they went down, and the word that they used to use, well, this is going to draw out all of that corruption. Now, if you somebody say corruption now, they'll think about Washington. But see, we know back in the day, corruption was pus. Corruption was pus. So, Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter, 3rd verse, there's a time to kill and a time to heal. Time to heal, so that means that I got to take this medicine. And see, one thing about God's medicine, if you look in a lot of people's medicine cabinets right now, the medicine cabinets have full. And that's why a lot of these young people is hooked on these opioids, because their grandparents' prescription bottle is half empty. And see, it says on the bottle, take it until gone. But see, one thing about it is with the Word of God, you got to take it and it'll never be gone. So you got to continuously take God's Word. And when you got an excess, they don't say take it until you feel better. But see, if we go to the church, that's what a lot of people are doing. They come into church, take God's Word until they feel better. Then out the door they go. But see, they come in there and get that good medicine. They come in weary, wounded, and sad and get that good medicine, get that good preaching, get that good loving, get that good charity. So that's why they run to the church for all of this good medicine. But then the minute they start feeling better, see you later, alligator. So I just thank God for giving me this to give you good medicine. Don't have no side effects. We got to be careful. Mm-hmm. Look at TV and look at all the different medications that they, you know, these things are dangerous. Sometimes, you know, even they say, even with COVID-19, they say the cure might be worse than the disease itself. But good word, good medicine, which is God's word, which is love, which is charity, which is temperance, which is all of these things that is the fruit of the Spirit, because the other stuff is going to drop your bones. So I could go on and on, but I just thank God for allowing me to come into your homes tonight and talk about this good medicine and give you a prescription for it. The prescription for this good medicine is God's word. Pick up a Bible. And I guarantee
that's
you,
right.
I mean, it's good medicine. I pick it up. I want to eat a page out of it. I want to just say, yummy, yummy, yummy. But
God's word
is good medicine. So I now turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown. Time just flew by once again. May God bless you and may ever keep you. And let's pray for the president also. He needs prayer. He needs some good medicine.
Lord,
so,
yes,
Brother
Lord.
Brown, back to you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Deacon Marvin Cox. I like what you just said. Even though we know that number 45, our current president, Trump, is on his way out, but still, the word of God, and if we are Christians, we have to still be doers of his word. We are to pray for our leaders. Even though
he's
on his way out, he's still currently our president. So we still have to keep him up in prayer as well. So I thank God for Deacon Marvin Cox for this word on tonight. This powerful and much needed word for such a time that we're living in. This word has gone forth. And I believe that it's gone forth with power and that it has been received in love. And that God has been glorified through this message on tonight. So we're going to get ready to close out in prayer as we always do. I'm asking all listeners if you would continue to lift up each other in prayer, continue to encourage one another in God's word. Each time I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, even your sufficient grace toward us in spite of ourselves. We lift up Bishop Rance Allen, entire family, Heavenly Father, this church family. We know that heaven has gained another angelic voice in heaven now that he's resting in you. The work and completed. He's finished his course. He kept the faith. So we lift up the spirit memory of Bishop Rance Allen in the name of Jesus and continue to stand again, his church family as well. All those that truly loved him, we lift them up to you also on tonight. We lift up all those that are bereaved on tonight all over the land because we know that you know who they are and where they are. And you know how to comfort and strengthen them like no one else can. So comfort and strengthen them, Heavenly Father, even in their hour of bereavement. Let them know and feel your peace, your joy, even in their hour of bereavement. That he will continue to give you glory, honor, and praise, even while they're going through bereavement. Continue to bless our world. Continue to bless our world leaders. And we continue to lift up our newly elected Vice President Kamala Harris and also President-elect Joe Biden. We continue to lift them up to you, Heavenly Father, because they have a lot of work to do before them. So we want to encourage them. We want to continue to pray for them and keep them lifted up and covered by the blood of Jesus so that they will go into the office being led by you and by your Holy Spirit and through your word, and they will continue to show love and compassion for all people, that you will be glorified through them. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. So we pray now, Heavenly Father, that you continue to have your word in each one of our lives, that you alone will be glorified. It's our prayer. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word with your people. And again, we pray your word has gone out, and we know that it's not going to go out void. It's going to accomplish everything that you have set out for you on tonight for your glory. We thank you. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, all those that are bringing with this prayer said amen. Well, on tonight, we're going to get it closed out. Remember this, and I always tell you, the listeners, this, and it's true. I love you. Guess what? God loves you even more. I don't know who you are. I know some of you, but God knows who each and every last one of us are. He knows exactly where you are and what you stand in need of. So continue to be faithful. He said he would give us and grant us the desires of our hearts if we walk up right and if we please him. So we need to thank God for you, the listeners. We don't want to take you lightly or for granted. You are greatly appreciated. So continue to spread the news and the word about this worldwide ministry and platform that others can join in and be blessed by God's word. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Again, know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, good night.